Good morning again and welcome back. As we gather together today, I really wanted to take on not just what it is that Jesus is talking about in today's passage, but also the way that we have applied and misapplied what he's talking about in today's passage. You know, I think part of a believer's journey in the faith is discovering how we encounter and engage in our relationship with God. And of course, nothing is more important to that encounter and engagement with God than prayer. And human beings have been fascinated with the concept of prayer as long as there have been human beings. And I know as a younger believer, a lot of my fascination with God and prayer had to do with the mechanics of the thing. How does one go about the act of prayer? And it goes back to when you're a little kid and you're praying and you've got your hands folded and you've got your eyes closed and, you know, sometimes you kind of peek that one eye open to see if the people around you have their eyes closed or open or not. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to how do you do the prayer thing when you're young? And in many senses, it's the same thing when we get older. Human beings have spent centuries trying to understand the act of prayer. What is it that we are supposed to do? How is it that we're supposed to do it? What language are we supposed to use? We've come up with all sorts of different material means to help us in our process. Some of you have encountered these before. They're prayer beads. This one is a rather specifically Protestant rosary. Now, the notion of Protestant rosary is not necessarily a new thing. Christians have been praying on beads that each of them have significant meanings, and basically we're trying to figure out the mechanics of prayer for as long as there have been people. Now, I'm not saying that this is the best way to go about praying. It is a way. And as human beings, we're really, really focused on the mechanics of how one prays. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's teaching them about prayer. One of the things he says to them is, you don't need your prayers to be as complicated as you think they need to be. He says, you don't need to pray like the pagans do when they just repeat over and over and over again the same prayers and stand on street corners for hours or even days at a time making their prayers in an attempt to basically wait God's patience out till God becomes so frustrated with your repeated attempts at prayer that he gives in to you. Jesus is talking to them about prayer and specifically about the mechanics of it. And like I said, we human beings, we get really focused on the how do you do the thing. How many times do you say this? How many times do you say that? What ways do you say this? What ways do you say that? And then Jesus speaks to his disciples and they want to know, how are we supposed to pray? And here's the incredible thing. When Jesus gives them this prayer, there is something notably missing from the prayer. And that is, of course, the mechanics of the thing. There's very little instruction Jesus gives on how the Lord's Prayer is to be used. Now, some people use a rosary. Whether you're using a Catholic one or a Protestant one is kind of irrelevant. You use that and, you know, you use the beads as a way to count how many times you've said the Lord's Prayer, for example. Or how many times you said the Jesus Prayer, which is an Orthodox tradition that you don't need to know about. It's just a different prayer. And of course, when Jesus is talking to the people in this particular passage, he is not in any way, shape, or form giving them mechanical instructions on what to do with it. He doesn't say, when you pray, close your eyes. He doesn't say, when you pray, kneel on your knees. He doesn't say, when you pray, fold your hands. He doesn't say, say this prayer three times a day. He doesn't say, say this prayer at church. Doesn't say this prayer at home. In fact, the best bit of mechanical instruction Jesus does ever give is simply says, pray in private. Why is he asking us to pray in private? A couple of different reasons. First and foremost being so that the focus of our prayer is not on our interaction with our neighbors. Jesus is saying, pray these prayers in private. That way you're not, well, concerned with how your neighbor looks at you. And I remember having this experience when I was in college. When I was in college, I was in this big campus ministry youth group. And every time we would get together, we would finish by having a big circle prayer. And everyone would hold hands. And when the person to the left of you finished, they'd squeeze your hand. You'd say your prayer and squeeze the hand of the person to the right of you. And for some of us, this was a lot of fun. I mean, if you were a natural extrovert, this is just part of the air you breathe. But for the introverts in the group in particular, you could see there was a degree of discomfort involved. Even for those of us who are fairly comfortable talking in front of a crowd, I'm going to admit that I spend an awful lot of my time not listening to other people's prayer requests, but formulating my own, considering what it was that I was going to pray for and figuring out the best way to word it in such a way that it sounded best. So when that hand squeeze did finally come to me and I said my piece, if you said to me, Russ, would you pray for the people who'd prayed before you? It might be kind of hit or miss. My concentration might have been elsewhere because I was listening to my own internal dialogue on the right way to pray the right words. See, Jesus does not give mechanical how-to information in his prayer. But he does focus on something. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it's all about relationship. There's no, this is the time of day, or this is the location, or this is the clothing you wear, or the beads you use. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it is all relational. This is to whom you pray. And it's a very, very unique relationship that Jesus introduces when he says, you begin by praying our Father. Not gracious God in heaven, not almighty deity who might or might not smite me for my evilness. You address your Father. Our Father who art in heaven. And that's a very simple way to begin a prayer. And in fact, the word that Jesus uses here for Father is Abba. It's the diminutive form of Father. It's really actually closer to Dad than it is Father, which, if you think about it, makes it a fairly informal prayer, which is funny considering how many formal uses we get out of this prayer. But Jesus begins his prayer by identifying not the hows of how we pray, not the whats of what we do when we pray, but the to whom are we praying and with whom are we having a conversation. And in this way, Jesus really is presenting a revolutionary way of praying. And it's a way that we all need to take to heart. You see, God's invitation to humanity for prayer is not an inducement for us to affect some particular kind of posture or pose or special words. These aren't magic spells that we're doing. This is a conversation. And first and foremost in the conversation, if you're having a good conversation, it's about the relationship you have with the other person. So Jesus begins his prayer, our Father who art in heaven. What are we going to say about our Father in heaven? Well, he's holy, and his name is holy, and everything about him is holy. And it's his kingdom. It's his world. And we live in his world. We recognize the relationship that we have is broken. Forgive us our sins. And we realize that the people around us are broken, and they need our forgiveness, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We recognize that the relationship that we have is fraught with peril. Lead us not into temptation. We recognize that the relationship we have is one of a parent to a child in which we rely on that parent for all we have. Give us this day our daily bread. We recognize that it is a protective relationship. You know, protect us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Jesus teaches a prayer that focuses on the elements of relationship that God wants to have with us, that we need to have with God. And for us human beings, learning that about prayer is difficult, because if I said to you, I'm going to teach you about prayer today, and I'm going to teach you how to use prayer beads to pray, and this is the way you do it, you could probably write that list down. You could keep that list by your seat. You might get yourself your own set of prayer beads, and you might say, okay, this is how I'm going to pray. I've got it all figured out. You don't have to think anymore. You don't have to go any deeper. You don't have to get emotional. You don't have to dig into your own feelings. You don't have to dig into your own personal perceptions. You could just focus on the mechanics of the thing. But Jesus doesn't give that, because he doesn't want us to become focused on the mechanics of prayer. He wants us to be focused on the purpose, to engage God in a relationship and to let God engage us in a relationship, and to have that relationship based on love, trust, and forgiveness. Because those are the fundamental elements of the Lord's Prayer that God provides. And so in this incredible prayer that Jesus gives, he asks us to think about the parts of our relationship that are broken. Well, that's not so mechanical as it is hard. Forgive us our sins. Wow. Are we going to be honest about that when we pray? Are we really going to consider what those things are? What are we asking for forgiveness for? It's not just, oh, I pray this section of the prayer, then I move on. What is it that we are relying on God for forgiveness from? As we have forgiven those who sin against us. Oh, my goodness. All of the people in our lives, can we fairly say that we've all forgiven them? All of them? That's a difficult statement to make, and it reminds us again and again that it is what we're called to attempt. We human beings have to consider where everything that we have comes from, our daily bread. And the prayer is there to make us focus again on this relationship we have with God, what it means to us, how it affects us, how it changes us, and how God is engaging us. So I say to you this Sunday, yes, there are ways that we human beings have taken what it is that Jesus gave us and created mechanisms that help us focus on what it is that Jesus taught us to pray. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with prayer beads. I got a lot of them. And I highly recommend that if you're the sort of person that needs to find a way to order your mind when you're praying, this might be a good way to do it. But ultimately, this tool is designed to refocus us on what it was that Jesus focused us on. The divine relationship that God wants to have with humanity. It's fundamentally redemptive nature. It's fundamentally challenging nature, calling us to forgive others and to lead us away from sin. It's fundamentally reliant nature, recognizing that even our daily bread comes from God. It reminds us to focus on the relationship that those three things bring. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say to you all, as we gather together today, and we pray more than a couple of times when we do gather, remember what Christ called you to be in prayer, and that is in relationship. Whether you close your eyes, open your eyes, fold your hands, cross your hands, hold your hands, that's not the important bit. I mean, all of those things can serve a function. The important bit is the focus Jesus put on the relationship with God.